Pressing Into the Kingdom by Jonathan Edwards, an exhortation to all people out of Christ to press into the kingdom of God. Some of you are awakened and inquiring what you shall do. You seem to desire to know what is the way in which salvation is to be sought and how you may be likely to obtain it. You have now heard the way that the Holy Word of God directs you to. Some are seeking, but it cannot be said of them that they are pressing into the kingdom of heaven. There are many that in time past have sought salvation, but not in this manner, and so they never obtained, but are now gone to hell. Some of them sought it year after year, but failed of it, and perished at last. They were overtaken with divine wrath, and are now suffering a fearful misery of damnation, and have no rest day nor night, having no more opportunity to seek, but must suffer and be miserable throughout the never-ending ages of eternity. Be exhorted, therefore, not to seek salvation as they did, but let the kingdom of heaven suffer violence from you. Here I would first observe an objection or two and then proceed to give some directions how to press into the kingdom of God. Objection 1. Some may be ready to say, we cannot do this of ourselves. That strength of desire and firmness of resolution that have been spoken of are out of our reach. If I endeavor to resolve and to seek with engagingness of spirit, I find I fail. My thoughts are presently off from the business, and I feel myself dull and my engagingness relaxed in spite of all I can do. Enter 1. Though earnestness of mind be not immediately in your power, yet the consideration of what has now been said of the need of it may be a means of stirring you up to it. It is true, persons never will be thoroughly engaged in this business unless it be by God's influence. But God influences persons by means. Persons are not stirred up to a thorough earnestness without some considerations that move them to it. And a person can but be made sensible of the necessity of salvation, and also duly consider the exceeding difficulty of it, and the greatness of the opposition, and how short and uncertain the time is, but yet are sensible that they have an opportunity, and that there is a possibility of their obtaining. They will need no more in order to their being thoroughly engaged and resolved in this manner. If we see persons slack and unresolved and unsteady, it is because they do not enough consider these things. 2. Though strong desires and resolutions of mind be not in your power, yet painfulness of endeavors is in your power. It is in your power to take pains in the use of means, yea, very great pains. You can be very painful and diligent in watching your own heart and striving against sin. Though there is all manner of corruption in the heart continually ready to work, yet you can very laboriously watch and strive against these corruptions. And it is in your power with great diligence to attend to the manner of your duty towards God and towards your neighbor. It is in your power to attend all ordinances and all public and private duties of religion, and to do it with your might. It would be a contradiction to suppose that a man cannot do these things with all the might he has, though he cannot do them with more might than he has. The dullness and deadness of the heart, the slothfulness of your disposition, does not hinder men being able to take pains, though it hinders their being willing. That is the one thing in which your laboriousness may appear, even striving against your own dullness. That men have a dead and sluggish heart does not argue that they be not able to take pains. It is so far from that, that it gives occasion for pains. It is one of the difficulties in the way of duty that persons have to strive with, and that gives occasion for struggling and labor. If there were no difficulties attending seeking salvation, there would be no occasion for striving. A man would have nothing to strive about. There is indeed a great deal of difficulty attending all duties required of those that would obtain heaven. It is an exceeding difficult thing for them to keep their thoughts. It is a difficult thing seriously, or to any good purpose, to consider matters of greatest importance. It is a difficult thing to hear, to read, to pray attentively. But it does not argue that a man cannot strive in these things because they are difficult. Nay, he could not strive therein if there were not difficulty in them. For what is there excepting difficulties that any can have to strive or struggle within any affair or business? Earnestness of mind, diligence of endeavor, tend to promote each other. He that has a heart earnestly engaged will take pains, and he that is diligent and painful in all duty probably will not be so long before he finds the sensibleness of his heart and earnestness of his spirit greatly increased. Objection number 2. Some may object that if they are earnest and take a great deal of pains, they shall be in danger of trusting to what they do. They are afraid of doing their duty for fear of making a righteousness of it. But I answer, there is ordinarily no kind of seekers after salvation to trust so much to what they do as slack and dull seekers, though all seeking salvation that have never been the subjects of a thorough humiliation do trust in their own righteousness. Yet some do it much more fully than others. Some, though they trust in their own righteousness, yet are not quiet in it. And those who are most disturbed in their self-confidence, and therefore in the likeliest way to be wholly brought off from it, are not such as go on in a remiss way of seeking, but such as are most earnest and thoroughly engaged, partly because in such a way conscience is kept more sensible. A more awakened conscience will not rest so quietly in moral and religious duties as one that is less awakened. A dull seeker's conscience will be in a great measure satisfied and quieted with his own works and performances. But one that is thoroughly awakened cannot be stilled or pacified with such things as these. In this way, persons gain much more knowledge of themselves and acquaintance with their own hearts than in a negligent, slight way of seeking, for they have a great deal more experience of themselves. It is experience of ourselves, and finding what we are, that God commonly makes use of the means of bringing us off from all dependence on ourselves. But men never get acquaintance with themselves so fast as in the most earnest way of seeking. They that are in this way have more to engage them to think of their sins and strictly to observe themselves, and have much more to do with their own hearts than others. Such a one has much more experience of his own weakness than another that does not put forth and try his strength, and will therefore sooner see himself dead in sin. Such a one, though he has a disposition continually to be flying to his own righteousness, yet finds rest in nothing. He wanders about from one thing to another, seeking something to ease his disquieted conscience. He is driven from one refuge to another, goes from mountain to hill seeking rest and finding none, and therefore will the sinner prove that there is no rest to be found, no trust to be put in any creature whatsoever. It is therefore quite a wrong notion that some entertain that the more they do, the more they shall depend on it, whereas the reverse is true. The more they do, or the more thorough they are in seeking, the less will they be likely to rest in their doings, and the sooner will they see the vanity of all that they do. So that persons will exceedingly miss it if ever they neglect to do any duty either to God or man, whether it be any duty of religion, justice, or charity, under a notion of its exposing them to trust in their own righteousness. It is very true that it is a common thing for persons, when they earnestly seek salvation, to trust in the pains that they take. But yet, commonly, those that go on in a more slight way trust a great deal more securely to their dull services than he that is pressing into the kingdom does to his earnestness, men's slackness in religion, and their trust in their own righteousness strengthen and establish one another. Their trust in what they have done and what they now do settles them in a slothful rest and ease. It hinders their being sensible of their need of rousing up themselves and pressing forward. And on the other hand, their negligence tends so to benumb them in such ignorance of themselves that the most miserable refuges are stupidly rested in is sufficient. Therefore we see that when persons have been going on for a long time in such a way, and God afterwards comes more thoroughly to awaken them, and to stir them up to be in good earnest, he shakes all their old foundations, rouses them out of their old resting places, so that they cannot quiet themselves with all things that formerly kept them secure. I would now proceed to give some directions how you should press into the kingdom of God. Be directed to sacrifice everything to your soul's eternal interest. Let seeking this be so much your bent, and what you are so resolved in, that you will make everything give place to it. Let nothing stand before your resolution of seeking the kingdom of God, whatever it be that you use to look upon as a convenience or comfort or ease, or thing desirable on any account. If it stand in the way of this great concern, let it be dismissed without hesitation, and if it be of that nature that it is likely always to be a hindrance, and wholly have done with it, and never entertain any expectation from it any more. If in time past you have, for the sake of worldly gain, involved yourself in more care and business than you find to be consistent with your being so thorough in the business of religion as you ought to be, then get into some other way, though you suffer in your worldly interests by it. Or if you have heretofore been conversant with company that you have reason to think have been and will be a snare to you, and a hindrance to this great design in any wise, break off from their society, however it may expose you to reproach from your old companions, or let what will be the effect of it, whatever it be that stands in the way of your most advantageously seeking salvation, whether it be some dear sinful pleasure, or strong carnal appetite, or credit, and honor, or the goodwill of some persons whose friendship you desire, and whose esteem and liking you have highly valued, and though there be danger, if you do as you ought, that you shall be looked upon by them as odd and ridiculous, and become contemptible in their eyes. Or if it be your ease and indolence, an aversion to continual labor, or your outward convenience in any respect in which you might avoid difficulties of one kind or other, let it all go. Offer up all such things together, as it were, in one sacrifice, to the interest of your soul. Let nothing stand in competition with this, but make everything to fall before it. If the flesh must be crossed, then cross it. To spare it not, crucify it, and do not be afraid of being too cruel to it. Galatians 5, verse 24. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, have no dependence on any worldly enjoyment whatsoever. Let salvation be the one thing with you. This is what is certainly required of you, and this is what many stick at. Just giving up other things for salvation is a stumbling block that few get over. While others pressed into the kingdom of God at the preaching of John the Baptist, Herod was pretty much stirred up by his preaching, It is said he heard him and observed him and did many things. But when it came to tell him that he must part with his beloved Herodias, here he stuck. This he never would yield to. Mark 7:18-20. The rich young man was considerably concerned for salvation, and accordingly was a very strict liver in many things. But when Christ came to direct him to go and sell all that he had, give to the poor, and come and follow him, he could not find in his heart to comply with it, but went away sorrowful. He had great possessions, and set his heart much on his estate, and could not bear to part with it. It may be, if Christ had directed him only to give away a considerable part of his estate, he would have done it. Yea, perhaps if he had bid him part with half of it, he would have complied with it. But when he directed him to throw up all, he could not grapple with such a proposal. Herein the straitness of the gate very much consists. And it is on this account that so many seek to enter in and are not able. There are many that have a great mind to salvation and spend great part of their time in wishing they had it, but they will not comply with the necessary means. Number 2, be directed to forget the things that are behind. That is, not to keep thinking and making much of what you have done, but let your mind be wholly intent on what you have to do. In some sense you ought to look back. You should look back to your sins. Jeremiah 2:23. See your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You should look back on the wretchedness of your religious performances and consider how you have fallen short in them, how exceedingly polluted all your duties have been, and how justly God might reject and loathe them, and you for them. But you ought not to spend your time in looking back, as many persons do, thinking how much they have done for their salvation, what great pains they have taken, how that they have done what they can, and do not see how they can do more, how long a time they have been seeking, and how much more they have done than others, and even than such and such who have obtained mercy. They think with themselves how hardly God deals with them, that he does not extend mercy to them, but turns a deaf ear to their cries, and hence they discourage themselves and complain of God. Don't spend your time in looking back on what is past, but look forward and consider what is before you. Consider what it is that you can do, and what it is necessary that you should do, and what God calls you still to do in order to your own salvation. The apostle in the 3rd chapter to the Philippians tells us what things he did while a Jew, how much he had to boast of, if any could boast. But he tells us that he forgot those things and all other things that were behind, and reached forth towards the things that were before, pressing forwards towards a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Number 3, labor to get your heart thoroughly disposed to go on and hold out to the end. Many that seem to be earnest have not a heart thus disposed. It is a common thing for persons to appear greatly affected for a little while, but all is soon passed away, and there is no more to be seen of it. Labor, therefore, to obtain a thorough willingness and preparation of spirit, to continue seeking in the use of your utmost endeavors, without limitation, and do not think your whole life too long. And in order to this, be advised of 2 things. 1, remember that if ever God bestows mercy on you, he will use his sovereign pleasure about the time when he will bestow it on some in a little time, and on others not till they have sought it long. If other persons are soon enlightened and comforted, while you remain long in darkness, there is no other way but for you to wait. God will act arbitrarily in this manner, and you cannot help it. You must even be content to wait in a way of laborious and earnest striving till His time comes. If you refuse, you'll but undo yourself. And when you shall hereafter find yourself undone and see that your case is past remedy, how will you condemn yourself for foregoing a great probability of salvation only because you had not the patience to hold out and was not willing to be at the trouble of a persevering labor? And what will it avail before God or your own conscience to say that you could not bear to be obliged to seek salvation so long, when God bestowed it on others that sought it, but for a very short time, though God may have bestowed the testimonies of His favor on others in a few days, or hours, after they have begun earnestly to seek it? How does that alter the cases to you? If there proves to be a necessity of your laboriously seeking many years before you obtain them, is salvation less worth taking a great deal of pains for, because through the sovereign pleasure of God, others have obtained it with comparatively little pains? If there are two persons, the one of which has obtained converting grace with comparative ease, and another that has obtained it after continuing for many years in the greatest and most earnest labors after it, how little difference does it make at last? When once salvation is obtained, put all the labors and pains, the long-continued difficulties and strugglings of the one in the scale against salvation, and how little does it subtract, and put the ease with which the other is obtained in the scale with salvation, and how little does it add? What is either added or subtracted is lighter than vanity, and a thing worthy of no consideration when compared with the infinite benefit that is obtained. Number 2. Endeavor now thoroughly to weigh in your mind the difficulty and account the cost of perseverance in seeking salvation. You, that are now setting out in this business, as there are many here who have very lately said about it, praise be the name of God that He has stirred you up to it, be exhorted to attend this direction. Do not undertake in this affair with any other thought but of giving yourself wholly to it for the remaining part of your life, and going through many and great difficulties in it. Take heed that you do not engage secretly upon this condition that you shall obtain in a little time, promising yourself that it shall be within this present season of the pouring out of God's Spirit, or with any other limitation of time whatsoever. Many, when they begin, seeming to set out very earnestly, do not expect that they shall need to seek very long, and so do not prepare themselves for it. And therefore, when they come to find it otherwise, and meet with unexpected difficulty, they are found unguarded and easily overthrown. But let me advise you all who are now seeking salvation, not to entertain any self-flattering thoughts, but to weigh the utmost difficulties of perseverance, and be provided for them, having your minds fixed on it to go through them. Let them be what they will. Consider now beforehand how tedious it would be, with utmost earnestness and labor, to strive after salvation for many years, in the meantime receiving no joyful or comfortable evidence of your having obtained. Consider what a great temptation to discouragement there probably would be in it. How apt it would be to yield the case. How ready to think that it is in vain for you to seek any longer, and that God never intends to show you mercy, and that He has not yet done it. How apt are you to think within yourself, what an uncomfortable life do I live? How much more unpleasantly do I spend my time than others that do not perplex their minds about the things of another world? They are at ease, and take the comfort of their worldly enjoyments. Consider what a temptation there would probably be in it, if you saw others brought in that began to seek the kingdom of heaven long after you, rejoicing in a hope and sense of God's favor, after but little pains and a short time of awakening. while you, from day to day, and from year to year, seem to labor in vain. Prepare for such temptations now, lay in beforehand for such trials and difficulties, that you may not think any strange thing has happened when they come. I hope that those who have given attention to what has been said have by this time conceived in some measure what is signified by the expression in the text, and after what manner they ought to press into the kingdom of God. Hear this to induce you to a compliance with what you have been directed to. If you sit still, you die. If you go backward, behold, you shall surely die. If you go forward, you may live. And though God has not bound himself to anything that a person does while destitute of saving faith and out of Christ, yet there is a great probability that in the way of hearkening to this counsel you will live, and that by pressing onward and persevering you will at last, as it were, by violence take the kingdom of heaven. Those of you who have not only heard the directions given, but shall, through God's merciful assistance, practice according to them, are those that probably will overcome. These we may well hope at last to see standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion, clothed in white robes, with palms in their hands, when all your labor and toil will be abundantly compensated, and you will not repent that you have taken so much pains and denied yourself much and waited so long. This self-denial, this waiting, will then look little and vanish into nothing in your eyes, being all swallowed up in the first minute's enjoyment of that glory that you will then possess, and will uninterruptedly possess and enjoy to all eternity. Fourth direction: improve the present season of the pouring out of the Spirit of God on this town. Prudence in any affair whatsoever consists very much in minding and improving our opportunities. If you would have spiritual prosperity, you must exercise prudence in the concern of your souls, as well as in outward concerns when you seek outward prosperity. The prudent husbandman will observe his opportunities. He will improve seed time and harvest. He will make his advantage of the showers and shines of heaven. The prudent merchant will discern his opportunities. He will not be idle on a market day. He is careful not to let slip his seasons for enriching himself. So will those who prudently seek the fruits of righteousness and the merchandise of wisdom improve their opportunities for the eternal wealth and happiness. God is pleased at this time and in a very remarkable manner to pour out his Spirit amongst us. Glory be to his name. You that have a mind to obtain converting grace and to go to heaven when you die, now is your season. Now, if you have any sort of prudence for your own salvation and have no mind to go to hell, improve the season. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You that in time past have been called upon and have turned a deaf ear to God's voice, and long stood out and resisted his commands and counsel, hear God's voice today. While it is called today, do not harden your hearts at such a day as this. Now you have a special and remarkable prize put in your hands to get wisdom, if you have but a heart to improve it. God has his certain days or appointed seasons of exercising both mercy and judgment. There are some remarkable times of wrath laid out by God for his awful visitation and the executions of his anger, which times are called days of vengeance. Proverbs 6, verse 34, wherein God will visit sin. Exodus 32, 34. And so, on the contrary, God has laid out in his sovereign counsel seasons of remarkable mercy, wherein he will manifest himself in the exercises of his grace and loving kindness more than in any other time. Such times in Scripture are called by way of eminency accepted times and days of salvation, also days of God's visitation. because there are days in which God will visit in a way of mercy, as in Luke 19, verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. It is such a time now in this town. It is with us a day of God's gracious visitation. It is indeed a day of grace with us as long as we live in this world, in the enjoyment of the means of grace. But such a time as this is especially, and in a distinguishing manner, a day of grace. There is a door of mercy always standing open for sinners. But such a day as this, God opens an extraordinary door. We are directed to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. If you that are hitherto Christless, be not strangely besotted and infatuated, you will by all means improve such an opportunity as this to get to heaven, when heaven is brought so near, when the fountain is open in the midst of us in so extraordinary a manner. Now is the time to obtain a supply of the necessities of your poor, perishing souls. This is a day for sinners that have a mind to be converted before they die, when God is dealing forth so liberally and bountifully amongst us, when conversion and salvation work is going on amongst us from Sabbath to Sabbath, and many are pressing into the kingdom of God. Now, do not stay behind, but press in amongst the rest. Others have been stirred up to be in good earnest, and have taken heaven by violence, be entreated to follow their example, if you would have a part of the inheritance with them, and would not be laughed at the great day when they are taken. How should it move you to consider that you have this opportunity now in your hands? You are in the actual possession of it. If it were past, it would not be in your power to recover it, or in the power of any creature to bring it back for you. But it is not past. It is now. At this day. Now is the accepted time, even while it is called today. Will you sit still at such a time? Will you sleep in such a harvest? Will you deal with a slack hand and stay behind out of mere sloth, or love to some lust, or loathness to grapple with some small difficulty, or to put yourself a little out of your way, when so many are flowing to the goodness of the Lord? You are behind still, and so you will be in danger of being left behind when the whole number is completed that are to enter in, if you do not earnestly bestir yourself. To be left behind at the close of such a season as this would be awful. Next to being left behind on that day when God's saints shall mount up as with wings to meet the Lord in the air, and will be what will appear very threatening of it. God is now calling you in an extraordinary manner, and it is agreeable to the will and word of Christ that I should now in his name call you as one set over you and send to you to that end. So it is his will that you should hearken to what I say. It is his voice. I therefore beseech you in Christ's stead now to press into the kingdom of God. Whoever you are, whether young or old, small or great, if you are a great sinner, if you have been a backslider, if you have quenched the Spirit, be you who you will, do not stand making objections, but arise, apply yourself to your work, do what you have to do with your might. Christ is calling you before, and holding forth his grace and everlasting benefits, and wrath is pursuing you behind. Therefore fly for your life, and look not behind you.